Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, just making sure the red light's on, so we
okay,
are recording.
Yeah. Oh, so yes, before, it is. Mine is too. Mm-hmm.
There you go. It's like a fit. Like we're in a studio recording.
That's what I was just thinking. Yes,
like the mm-hmm. big red light recording.
Yeah.
So I was telling you, and we'll tell all the listeners, and they'll probably by the time they hear this, they'll already know that we got commercials on our podcast now. What do you think about that?
Right.
We had the opportunity.
You know what? I always say, show me the money.
Yeah. Yeah, we had. Well, it's kind of weird. I got the notification that we had commercials on now, and I went and listened, and the Home Depot was one of the commercials at the beginning of one of our podcasts, one of our older episodes, because they're putting them in there, and I'm thinking, man, wait till Home Depot finds out they're paying us. they might close up shop.
Well, you never know, right? I don't know. But so, you said we got like 70 cents, right?
Yeah. Jason sent me a text and said, hey, look, we've made 70 cents so far. So, yeah. Hey. So apparently commercials on Spotify and everything pay about like songwriting does. Probably. No, actually, they do pay a lot better because the number of spins and the downloads would not be equal in payment. I wouldn't have made 70 cents. I'd have made like 3 cents. So, if that, for my songwriting. So, no matter how bad or good it is. So,
that's kind of a songwriter.
So, that's kind of a little exciting news to share. And we want to share there's somebody is now officially on Twitter, right? I mean, you were always on Twitter, but now there's an official
Ozark
Howler Twitter page.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So you want to tell everybody what the handle
is? That? Hold on. Let me see what I just had it up. It's at your, Y-O-U-R, Ozark, O-Z-A-R-K, Howler, H-O-W-L-E-R. Because somebody had Ozark Howler, so.
Isn't that crazy that somebody had Ozark Howler? When...
I don't know. You know, every time I've tried to come up with something catchy, like so many things in life, somebody else already had it.
But do you think, because you've been the Ozark Howler now for 2.5 years.
Yeah, it's but somebody probably had it before me, right? I mean, why wouldn't they be? Right?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. Why would somebody be the Ozark? I mean, it's kind of a strange thing to just have.
Well, but what I'm saying is, I mean, I can't be the only one. The aliens might have been here before. Who knows what, you know?
I guess.
What do you mean you guess?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, what's that got to do with the Ozark Howler?
Well, what I'm saying is I can't be the only Howler, can I?
Well, I mean, why would somebody else call themselves the Ozark Howler?
Because maybe, maybe they're, you know, people are of the impression that the Wright brothers first flew at Kitty Hawk, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And now we know that they really did. They weren't the first people. I think there was some Frenchmen that flew, and then somebody, where was Kitty Hawk? South Carolina?
North Carolina. It's right there.
Okay, I think somebody.
Yeah, right there.
I think somebody, and I could be wrong, you're in Ohio, I think somebody around where Wright-Patterson is now, that's one of the allures of it, beat them there.
Yeah, but that's where they're from. They're from Dayton.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I think somebody beat them in the air.
Like somebody in their own neighborhood beat them.
Maybe, I don't know. First in flight. I'm going to look it up right here. Why are we even on this? What I'm saying is,
maybe it's because you're flying to Europe this weekend and we're talking, and you know, you're thinking about flying and you're in debt. No.
Well, you know, maybe I try not to, you know, I watched one of them air disasters the other day and they were having to go to Paris, same place I'm going. I thought, holy cow.
How about the guy that landed the plane in Florida this week? When the pilot
no experience,
the guy has no experience.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be as hard as, you know, you only need two of three things to fly, right?
Good weather and what?
Nope. Altitude, airspeed, and brains. Any combination of two of those three, you can fly. Because if you got an altitude and airspeed, you're flying. If you got altitude and brains, you can get airspeed. And if you got airspeed and brains, you can get altitude. So I don't want to take anything away from the guy, but it was, you know, it was a big single, wasn't it? It wasn't a twin. I think it was a big single engine, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just a regular plane.
Yeah, you know, I mean, anybody with a little flight simulator, anybody who can play COD or video games could probably do it. I mean, you do it driving a postal truck that barely runs, so you could probably do it.
Well, I mean, haven't you ever?
Hey, he was old enough. If you drove with a carburetor, because remember them carburetor days where you kind of had to milk the carburetor so did not too much would kill it, not enough would kill it. Remember those days?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's why you should. That's why you should only fly with pilots from the 90s. If they remember the 90s, if they were driving in the 80s, you know, a Ford with a variable Venturi carburetor or something, then they'd be okay. My brother was leaving Bozeman yesterday. Let me get my days mixed up here. He was going Bozeman to Dallas to Columbia, Missouri, and they had a bird strike leaving Bozeman, Montana. And he said there was no Sully in his deal because there's no water in Bozeman, Montana. He said they hit a big bird in an Airbus 317 or 320, 319, 320. And he said, buddy, you knew it.
Because they hit a bird?
They hit a bird, and not only did they hit a bird, bird went in the engine. So he said immediately it started shimmering, you know, like shaking like a truck on a washboard.
Yeah.
You know, gravel road, washboard on a gravel road, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And then he said you could tell the guy was fighting it because that engine, I guess, quit or whatever. And he said you could smell it burning. He don't know if it was the bird burning or the engine burning or everything. And then it kept wanting to slow that side, I guess, kept wanting to pull back. Does that make sense? So you could tell the guy was fighting the wheel or the steering or whatever to keep it straight because it kept wanting to drag. And he came right on the box and said, we're turning around. We hit a bird, in case y'all realize it. So,
the guy that saved that plane the other day, it was diving, I saw the interview, and he climbed up.
Think it was diving. I thought he was just, you know, like on autopilot or something.
No, the guy had a medical issue, and it started, you know, descending or whatever. And he said, I knew I couldn't panic because he goes, I knew if I pulled back on whatever that was, what is that, that levels you
yoke?
Out? Or
on the yoke?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or whatever. He said I had to be. He goes, I knew I couldn't just yank it back or I'd stall the engine.
So right.
He goes, I just had to be slow and steady. And the lady's like, well, weren't you nervous? And he goes, my heart didn't start beating fast until I got on the ground. He goes, because I knew there was no point being nervous up there because we'd just end up dead if I was. I'm like, wow.
Well, that probably, yeah, well, hey, you know, that's, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
Right?
I guess. That's, I mean, it's amazing what people can do under pressure like that. You know, I think. I know you've got training.
No, I don't have any. I mean, I've got
I can turn
on some switches.
But just in general, you have training to perform under pressure.
Well, you know, I'm a full colonel in a video game, a flying video game, but that's a whole other story.
Listen, there's some guys that did a lot of damage.
I've got 4,000, and I'm not making this up. I got like 4,000 flight hours on a video game I bought for my kid about 12 years ago, 10 years ago. And it really depresses me. I quit playing it for a while because I thought, just think what I could do. That's like 2 years worth of work. You know what I mean? Now, I played 3 or 4 hours a day. When my kids were little, especially my oldest boy, we played video games. I mean, every night, you know, 2-3 hours, huh?
Yeah, I never did that.
Yes.
I think the last new video game I ever bought was Madden 93 for my Sega.
You're missing the boat. I mean, my son did it. Excuse me. My youngest son was bored the other day, and, you know, it's usually we're working on four-wheelers or something he's blown up, tore up or something, and I said, you bored? And he said, yeah. I said, look, I said, I'll tell you what, I got to run your sister up to school for something, some school-related activity. And so when I get home, we'll go down and play some COD. We'll go play some zombies. He said, okay.
So what's that, like a zombie, like shoot 'em up game or something?
Oh yeah, first person shooter. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the kind that's supposed to warp your brains and make you a bad kid.
Well, I could see how it could, the wrong kid, it could. You know, back in the day, bad kids used to just smoke cigarettes, and you know, now they're shooting up schools or grocery stores or whatever that kid did in Buffalo.
I don't even know. I seen where his family said that he was suffered from COVID paranoia. And after that, I just shut it off because,
well, I heard the prosecutor, I saw an interview with the prosecutor, and he said that they had word that last year he had maybe threatened to, shoot up or do something at the school he attended. And I'm thinking, you know, in this day and age, if somebody does that stuff, why aren't we getting them some mental help? You know, I mean, obviously you're not there.
They claim rape's the reason why they're not getting mental help.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that.
He defunded all the institutions they used to be. I mean, I told you some of Osage City stories about, you know, just the mental incapacitation that people had. And
well, he started in California in the 60s, and there is a number of certified serial killers that didn't get help or were let out of the help they were getting.
Hold on a second. Let me rephrase this. I know that you try to see the good in everybody, right?
I try.
You being the Nashville person that you are, you who use rose-colored glasses on every situation.
Yep.
Okay. But you can't use the term serial killer and help in the same sentence, right?
Well, sure, because I can. Why can't I?
Because the only help those people need is to the afterlife. That's the only help those people need.
Well, the one guy was in, and I can't remember. It might have been Ed Kemper, who was a terrible dude. But I'm not saying it was him, but I think it was actually in one of those mental health facilities in California, and. They closed them down to make them all privately owned, you know, so you had to pay out of your own pocket to be in there. And this guy's family could not afford to have him in there. And once he got out, then he didn't get any help.
You don't need it, Charlie.
Just right down the tubes.
Right. Well, I don't know about helping him.
You know. Well, I agree. Some people, there's probably no, there's just no helping them. But, like, you know, I don't know. Would that kid have, if he had gotten some kind of help, went ahead and drove, however, 3.5 hours to shoot up a bunch of people? I don't know. I mean, I got to believe that everybody, there's a chance to help everybody.
Right.
Those are my rose-colored glasses.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It is the rose-colored glasses.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's, well, speaking about helping somebody, I had somebody send me a message and wanted us to help them out and figure out the episode where you told the story about the guy that died in the trailer and was seeping into the floor. And I think maybe they mixed up two episodes. I think maybe there's the story.
I could have told them wrong.
I think that's two stories, though. I think that's two different stories. So I'm going to try to find that episode and play it as a best of here in the next couple of weeks for the job.
Because
I think he's talking about the one where the guy seeped into the bed, and then you guys were trying to get him out, and the dog was trying to bite you.
Right. Yes, that is one episode. That is the episode. That is correct. That is the episode.
Yeah, but then there was another episode where you guys went into the trailer and somebody stepped through the floor of the trailer.
Well, yeah, that was a drug warrant. You know, it's funny. Yeah. Sheldon, the guy that was the point man on that drug warrant, he left me a voicemail last night.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, these guys were big. I mean, you know, college Division I lineman of the one of them in the '80s. So I mean, he's not real 5'11", 245 maybe, and the other one's about 5'11", 6 foot, 290. Okay.
So they're defensive linemen.
Yes. And they are the ones that it was what we call no knock search warrant. So. Because this guy was supposed to be some badass gang member, and they busted a door on his trailer and ran down the you know, typical trailer, right? Just got a living room, dining room combination, little hallway with two little bedrooms and a bedroom at the very end, bedroom in the middle, bathroom halfway down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they didn't make the bathroom because the floor fell in. You know, wood rot, you know, this nasty old wood rot stuff.
But they still got their man, right? I mean, you still got the guy.
Yeah, because he not only did he not understand that you can't sell, back in them days, you couldn't sell dope out in the county because we were deputies, you know, and the sheriff was really big. You know, if you're going to sell dope, you better sell it in the city because you come out in the county, you know, he's Buford T. Pusser was his man. And, but this young man was misguided and didn't understand why 7 pounds, I think it was 7 pounds of marijuana, wouldn't flush down a toilet. So, bricked up out of a food compactor. Do you know how they used to do it? I don't know, you're not a dope guy, but they used to use a food compactor, and that's what makes those nice little vacuum-packed bricks. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I've seen them in movies,
right?
And
so
stuff.
Not
yeah.
Only is it, you know, to me, it always reminded me a little miniature alfalfa bales. You know how alfalfa hay, when you go to, or even any kind of square bale, how it flakes out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But especially, so real tight little bale, so he can't, you know how you have to fluff it out to get it to break up a piece of hay, you know, small.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, he didn't have that, you know, the first brick he threw in the toilet and hit the flush button, you know, he was behind the curb.
It kind of stuck up the
just ignorant. You know, I was telling somebody about that. I don't know if it's one of my kids or what, but I was telling him just people don't think right all the time. You know what I mean? On any given thing, like you delivering the mail, sometimes you think of something ought to go zig and it should have went zag or whatever. Well, dopers are the same way. They're people too. And then sometimes their mind doesn't work. You know what I mean? It's got external components that mess up the picture. You remember back in the old days, you'd had a real antenna and something would happen in the static line would go from top of the screen to the bottom or vice versa. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So that's some of these dopers out there. So they've got a clear picture of the world, but every once in a while the static line zips down through, right? So the first meth person I ever met was in the early 90s, probably 92, 93. The sheriff called me at home and said, you need to get in here. The dispatch called me, and I got in there, and the sheriff and the DEA guys were there, and they had these high speed meth dealers, and one of them was injured, and I forgot what his injury was, but they needed somebody to, because once you're arrested, you belong to the either the state or the county, or ultimately it's the state, or either the state or the feds or whoever does it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when they're arrested, their medical coverage belongs to the government, and the government has to supply somebody there to keep them from running away. So, and I used to have to sit at, I ended up sitting in the hospital a lot of times because the real cops didn't want to do it. Right. So what happened is, and not to tell Lake Ozark story, but back in the old days, a lot of people didn't live here year round, you know? So what these guys would do, he tells me, they would go down there and break into a cabin and just sit around. And this is back when they had to, well, I'm going to use the term cook meth, right? And there was everybody seen Breaking Bad. There was a component to it, right? So this particular guy, because I actually ended up talking to him a lot after, because I had to sit there all night with him. And somebody fronted him the chemicals. It was him, another dude that he knew or friends with, and then a chick. So somebody fronted them the chemicals on Thursday night. Friday, they drove to the lake, broke into a cabin house. This was actually a little nicer house. And they would do nothing but eat and drink whatever was in the place. Okay, because they didn't bring their own stuff. And make meth. And by the time they brought what they had completed on Sunday night, right? And he told me it was about $50,000 when they got it to Kansas City. That's what they got paid to do it. And this is the early 90s. So imagine $50,000 in 1992 money, 93 money.
And we made 70 cents so far on commercials.
Right. So, I was guarding him making like 19,000 a year or something.
And you're like, how do I?
And he made 50,000 in a weekend. And they had done that three or four times that they know of.
Holy moly. And that was just his cut.
His cut was 50. He didn't have to buy nothing, pay nothing. He did nothing. Well, the time they got jammed up, though, they go down there, the same trio. The chick starts, one of the three, and I think it was the chick, they got bored because the particular cabin they broke into didn't have a TV. Because back before TVs were $200 for a 90-inch flat screen, TVs cost money and people wouldn't leave them down there. You know? So, out of boredom on the second day, she's ragging the other dude enough that he goes next door and breaks into a cabin and steals the TV.
Rather than just going into that cabin.
Or just whatever. So he breaks into this, and his going out there and breaking into that cabin, he was spotted by one of the few people either driving down the road or living in that neighborhood year round or whatever. And they called the owner of that cabin and said, I think somebody just broke into your cabin. And these people said, well, go see. So the neighborhood watch guy or whatever, the neighbor, he goes down there and says, well, your TV's missing. We'll call the law. We'll meet you down there. And that's how they got caught with this giant cache of meth, and that was back in the days. Now, you know, back in the old days, you know, if you had a half a pound of meth or something, I mean, it was big news. But now the Mexicans, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. The Hispanic undocumented immigrants bring it over by the ton. I mean, it ain't nothing for these guys to get 25, 30 pounds at a whack. They don't even cook it. You know, the old days of meth cookers and bikers and stuff down here are gone because they don't even cook it, because you could buy it, you know, from the Hispanics cheaper.
Holy smokes.
What? I know that was a lot to unpack. I'm sorry. I don't even know why we went down there. I don't even remember what we were going to talk about tonight. We went from dead bodies to trailer house to cooking meth.
What I can't get over is back in the 90s, how you could go pick up one of those TVs and just carry it from I'd move the whole meth operation from one cabin to the next, because it'd be
easier than a TV.
Even easier than carrying one of those big TVs.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, they're probably strung out, or who knows. You know, that's what I'm saying. They had the fuzzy line in their vision that day, and they didn't, you know what I mean?
Because
I'm going, okay, if you paid me $50,000.
It wasn't just on the TV.
Well, if you paid me $50,000 three times in a calendar, four times in a year, he could have bought any of them cabins for $75,000 probably back then. And you know what I mean?
And then rented them out and made some. See,
yeah,
that's the problem.
Or just sit there and cook his own meth.
But that's the problem is, guys like me and you who have that kind of foresight aren't the meth cookers.
I guess. How do you think I'm going to finance this commercial venture of ours? Those 70 cent revenue, them 70 cent commercials of yours?
Listen, those are $1 million commercials, but we're just getting paid 70 cents. Just remember that.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out. Only know what's hiding in our shadows. God only knows what's hiding in our shadows.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.